I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You've just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Test 1, 2.
I feel like I'm bouncing from cloud to cloud.
Wow, we're ridiculous.
So stay tuned.
I like what we're doing.
Or don't.
Oh, that might be my favorite thing to ever happen.
Is this not the coolest thing you've ever heard?
Well, how about this?
Yes. Hold up.
It's the Pepper and Dylan After Show Show Podcast.
Welcome to your After Show Show. Today is Wednesday, the 11th of May. Thank you so much for joining us.
We're going to do something interesting here with the podcast. We don't do this very often, but we think it's a good one to do today because we had on the live show this morning two very different but very interesting conversations with guests that have appeared on this show before, one being with the city's bug expert, Mike Jenkins. We speak with him every year around this time so we can get prepared for what might be an atrocious mosquito season, what might be an average mosquito season, or what might be a pleasant mosquito season.
Right.
And he gives us the do's and don'ts, not to mention how dragonflies have sex.
It's a wild, the whole thing's great because
it's magical.
He tells you like what you can do on your back deck, which is what we all need to
Spoilers.
Hear.
Spoilers.
I won't say
Spoiler
anything.
Spoiler alert.
I apologize, Robbie.
Sorry, Robbie.
Come on.
Oh, I got to cover off something really quickly.
But it's a spoiler alert. That's something that someone's going to listen to. It's like it's a preview alert.
You're going to hear it in a second.
Don't ruin it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
One thing to cover off, because I received a lot of messages, actually, from people. On Monday's podcast, we talked about that lucky crystal that both my daughter and my girlfriend got, mm-hmm. and good things happened to them. And a lot of people said, what was the name of it? And I said I would ask to find out. It's called Citrine. Citrine.
Right.
Citrine.
Yeah, that's
good. A few people that listen to the podcast.
Did you
are like,
buy me one yet?
I need some good luck. No, I can go and do it after work.
Because not dying would be good luck, right?
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it would be good for all of us. Right?
Do you want me to honestly go? I have to be in the Bonnie Doon area today. I could stop by Rocks.
You love that mall.
Which I believe, and you guys make fun of me for, but I think that is what's keeping London or Bonnie Doon Mall open.
1,000%.
That in the bowling alley.
Probably.
But Rocks is so, it's just so cool, all the stuff they have there.
I give you permission to spend $20. I'll pay you $20.
Crystals are steep, man.
Oh, is $20 not going to cover it?
You know what? I'm actually going to go. I'm going to go there today because there's a vinyl shop there as well.
Yeah,
so
there is.
I want to go in.
What are you guys going together?
Sunrise Records.
Do you want to go together right after work?
I would love to.
Let's do it, Robbie.
If you can wait a bit while I post this.
He's got to print things for half an hour. He always prints things for all morning.
Free paper.
By the way, that record shop in Londonderry Mall, mm-hmm. I brought a box of your old
Bonnie Doon Mall.
I get them confused. In Bonnie Doon Mall, I brought a box of your old CDs there.
Yeah.
They paid me a pretty penny for
them. Oh, yeah. There was a time, man, where you could trade in CDs.
Last year I did this.
How much
did
they still take me?
Last year?
Honestly, the guy gave me like $50 for a small box of CDs.
How do you feel about that, Pepper?
Well, it's fine. It's all in the cloud now.
You gave it to Robbie. He made $50.
I gave it to Robbie as an education on hip hop. I gave him, you know, what was it, like 25 CDs or so of like the essential hip hop education CDs.
Yeah, but then you had two boxes in your storage.
Well,
it had to be Lilith Fair and company.
There's quite a bit of that.
I mean, back in the day when I had CDs, like you'd get them free from work, right? And I just had hundreds and hundreds of CDs. Mm. Here's what I regret most about getting rid of my CDs, but from the CD time. Do you remember when the iPod first came out?
Did you hear today? iPod is no longer. Today they just announced they'll no longer make an iPod.
No way.
Can you imagine? Like we're talking about how when CDs were a thing, now iPod is a thing of the past.
Wow.
They just announced that this morning at Apple that they will no longer be making iPods.
Well, that hits me hard.
Right? You went through cassettes. Well, you went through records, cassettes.
A-tracks?
Maybe A-tracks.
My neighbor had an A-track. I never had an A-track, but yeah, I remember
CDs,
them.
And now...
I've been through them all.
iPods.
Really?
Isn't that wild?
Holy smokes.
Makes sense.
Anyhow, but do you remember when the iPods first came out?
Of course.
Before the iPhone.
They were and huge
you had
and
to,
awesome.
You had to put your CDs in iTunes.
Yep.
So you'd take your CD, you'd put it in the computer, and zip, and some would take forever, depending on your computer.
Yep.
Like, I spent days and days uploading my library to my computer so that I could pick which songs went on the iPod, because they were never big enough to hold all of them.
Right. I was the worst with that when I had to put them on, like, thousands of... Oh. And then I had to get the artwork, because I was anal.
Yes, yep.
More particular, I guess.
Yep.
So I,
and some CDs wouldn't remember the name of the song, so you had to enter that in.
That was a pain.
Holy smokes, has life been made easy.
And now you just go, hey, Siri, play whatever.
Completely, right? Wow. And then I was thinking this the other day, because I have a couple Alexas in my house, right?
Things must be going pretty well.
Oh, yeah, things are going well. And I listen to music on it sometimes. So, hey, Alexa, play, you know, whatever. And Taylor Swift, mainly, by the way.
God, I love
that 10-minute Taylor Swift song. Yeah, I listen to every night before bed. Yeah, All Too Well.
Yeah.
I listen to it every night before bed to see if I can make it to the end.
And?
I rarely do.
Do you cry during it?
No, I fall asleep. It's a wonderful song.
Man,
it's
really
a great breakup song. But anyway, so I'll listen to music on those. And it dawned on me the other day that a speaker this big.
How big?
Like this big.
Well,
like,
people can.
Oh, yeah, that's right. A speaker the size of the Alexa, like a hockey puck.
Like not very big.
The size of a hockey puck.
That's better.
Sounds better than the... Remember when your buddy got a stereo or his parents got that sweet stereo with speakers that were like as tall as you were with all the components and it took up half the living room just to hear this great sound? And now
Nuance Sound is who made the ones
thousands.
I got.
Those, and they cost so much. Thousands Robbie, you worked at Visions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, guys would come in and they would buy the subwoofer, the tweeters.
Yes.
Like everything, and it was thousands of dollars.
It cost so much money and they took up so much space. And now, truly, my Alexa speaker sounds better than those.
It's so good. So clear.
And you can take one out to the deck and it's like this big.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
A portable Bluetooth speaker.
Mm-hmm.
What happened there? How'd they figure that out?
But if you think about it.
Why was the speaker this tall and now it's this big? I'm doing that to bug you, Robbie.
Magnets?
I don't know. If you think about it, though, that was... I'm guessing maybe 15, 25 years tops.
Yeah, it was 20 years ago. I was at Visions.
Like 20 years from now, what the hell will there be?
I don't know.
Like, we won't even have songs. You'll just think, I want to hear something.
Yeah.
It'll just be in your brain.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's the Neuralink that Elon Musk is trying to
perfect. He's working on that.
Guy, I don't know about this guy. Is nobody scared of that? Is nobody scared of Elon Musk and the world's richest man taking over a social media platform and opening it up and having full private control of that and talking about Neuralinks to control our brain?
Not to control,
to help.
It'll help people that are with disabilities, right?
Why do you always have to think everything's bad? Because that's when he's trying to make it so that you can move your arm.
A lot of times that a lot of bad people got voted in because they convinced everybody they'd be okay.
Nah,
they
do a good job. Elon's a good guy.
I have faith that he is.
Okay,
he wants free speech on Twitter.
He's making Twitter free.
Okay.
He's not going to control it.
Okay.
When right now it's being controlled by a corporation.
He is controlling it, though. At least Twitter used to have a board to answer to. Right? It was publicly traded. He purchased it. It is now his private company to do with it what he might.
Yeah, but what his plan is
to make it free.
Free speech.
He wants to get rid of all the bots, et cetera, et cetera, and encourage everybody or make some sort of demand that everybody need to be verified.
Which is great.
All this is going to be awesome. Yeah. Now
you'll be accountable for the things you say.
Oh, when one person controls messaging, it can be a problem. I'm just saying.
No, I mean, if it is
a
problem.
It's worse off the way it is.
Right now, they're blocking people for having opinions. Now, no one will be blocked. Now, listen, it's not going to be a better place.
It might be toxic.
There's a pile of books still smoldering in 1940s Germany that might argue that.
Uh-oh.
That's all I'm saying.
They didn't have Twitter.
They had books, they burned the books.
They were banning books.
Yes.
But that's kind of what Twitter's doing now. It's banning certain information. Elon just wants to take that away.
Right.
Anyways.
Right. Once you're sitting here one day when that neurotransmitter comes out, Dylan, and all of a sudden your head pops up and your eyes open wide and you start walking towards me like you're going to choke me, well, that would be you. That's not a good example, but you know what I'm saying. I'm just
right.
I'll bet you anything.
Why don't you look at the positive, though, for someone who is paralyzed from the waist down that can now walk using their own brain?
Or communicate communicate much easier.
Like those are amazing things that will happen.
Yeah.
AI's happening whether we like it or not.
I know.
It's creepy.
And robots will take over whether we like it or not.
A lot of things are happening whether we
at
like
least
it or not.
Elon Musk knows, and like if you listen to interviews with Elon Musk, he'll talk about how AI's bad. He'll talk about how robots, he's like, that's not a good idea.
That's what
it's
he wants
inevitable.
You to believe. See, that's
right.
What he's getting you to think. It's all a big setup.
I don't know. I seem to think that the
you never know.
Of you.
You never know, but it's going to be interesting and creepy.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
Speakers, boy. They're ever good.
They're so small.
So we're going to talk with Mike Jenkins. We're going to replay that. So you're going to learn everything you need to know about mosquitoes and dragonflies and how they reproduce are coming up. And then we're also, because we had several requests for this, we spent, you know, a good 10 or so minutes talking with someone whom we met 4 years ago. Brian was his name. He was anonymous at the time. And he came out for the first time ever in his life. He said he was gay live on this radio show. And he was supported so wonderfully,
yeah,
by most of our audience, and I'm unfortunately you have to use the word most. Mm-hmm. And out of nowhere, he messaged us the other day and said, "Hey, it's been 4 years, and I just wanted to. For some reason, I felt compelled to say thank you to you and the audience." We said, "Well, why don't you come on and tell the story?"
It was so good.
And so he tells the story of his 4 year journey since coming out to his parents and coming out to the world, and it wasn't all easy. And we like to say that he was unanimously accepted by our audience. But Robbie, you saw a couple messages where he was not unanimously accepted. And unfortunately, that's still something that he and many of us of any sexual orientation or gender or race or religion are dealing with every day. Mm-hmm. Not always accepted, right? There's a difference of opinions, but then there is straight up ignorance. And he's dealt with both. And so he tells his story. And many people said, like, oh, I just missed it. Or I remember 4 years ago when it came out. Can you guys replay that? So we're going to add that to today's After Show show.
Yeah, longer conversations, too. Okay. So it's good.
So enjoy that. Thank you very much. Dylan, go get checked out. We hope we never have to replace you. We hope you're still alive tomorrow.
Thank you.
But a reminder, if anybody wants to fill in for Dylan and be his replacement, we are taking applications. You can email me, and I will filter them out and see which ones make the final interview with Dylan live on the radio. You can email Pepper@kiss917.com. I've already received 6 applications in my email, Dylan.
Wow.
So your job is a
sounds
hot
like
commodity.
A holiday for me.
So enjoy Mike Jenkins first talking about mosquitoes, and then Brian talking about the past 4 years since he came out when he was 28 years old. And what life is 28 years old? Yeah, 28 years old. And when the journey life has taken him on since then. Thank you and enjoy the After Show.
The Pepper and Dylan Show.
All right, it's our pleasure to welcome to the radio show for his annual visit, the very busy Mike Jenkins.
Oh, yes.
Good morning, Mr. Jenkins.
Good morning.
We always talk to you every year. We've been made a tradition out of it, and we love chatting with you. And every time we do, people say, I really enjoyed that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's informative. It's nice. You're a bug expert. But Robbie said, don't call him a bug guy. That's an insult to him. So
I find bug guy a perfectly good title.
Your official title, though, with the city of Edmonton is what?
Pest management coordinator.
Okay.
Pest management coordinator.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So if anybody has any questions, 917-917. We're obviously going to start in the place that we always do about the mosquitoes. And it was received with a bit of controversy when the city council decided to vote against spraying this year and let Mother Nature sort itself out. Clear that up for us, Mike.
Yeah, so it wasn't a vote against spraying. We still have our ground and ditch programs. Mm-hmm. So we're still treating roadside ditch habitat alongside every roadway where the water collects. And that's probably the primary source of mosquitoes in our area is those roadside ditches. So we're still treating those, extending out into surrounding counties, and we're concentrating on ground areas that are treated by backpacks inside the city, closer to residential areas, closer to parks and school zones, things like that, in ravines, along walkways. So we're concentrating on those kinds of habitats. What was eliminated was the aerial program. So that was the areas largely outside the city that were treated by helicopter.
The aerial assault. We're no longer yet. We've given up on the aerial assault of the mosquitoes.
Is that going to cause problems, though?
I don't know about problems. We are expecting that we are going to see more mosquitoes in the short term, certainly, because we're no longer reducing those mosquitoes that are developing in those areas outside the city. And those mosquitoes, some of them are going to migrate into the city.
Were you in favor of that decision, can you say? Or are you going to toe the political line here? What do you do here, Mike?
Yeah, it's council's decision, so
okay,
we
there
just
it is. Okay. All right.
That's fair.
That's a damn it anyway.
Right, yeah, doesn't sound ideal.
So Mike, you said we're gonna have more mosquitoes this year than we did last year based on the
not,
lack of
not
the aerials.
Necessarily.
No, okay.
We'll have more mosquitoes than we would have given the same conditions.
Right, okay.
So it's hard to say whether it'll be more than last year. Last year was actually probably our lowest year on record.
I was just going to say, yeah, to my recollection, last year was great. And so is it, or do they go hand in hand? If you've got dry conditions, you either get a mosquito or a wasp, right? Like it's just...
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, right?
Yeah, mosquitoes like it wet. Yellow jackets and ants like it dry. So,
right.
If you don't get one, you get the other.
Yeah, you've got the ant problem, Pepper.
I've got boar beetles, they're called.
Oh.
Boar beetles. You heard of these now, Mike? These boar beetles?
I know of a number of different species of boring beetles.
Of course
so,
you do, yeah. I don't know. They're beetles that are boring into my trees,
his
and
aspens.
Apparently they're killing all the trees if you let them get up too
yeah,
high.
Yeah, they're killing his aspens.
Oh, in the aspens. Okay, yeah, so that would be the poplar borer in particular. So we found that they don't actually typically kill the trees.
All right.
They move into the trees. They're part of the cycle of it declining. But they don't necessarily kill the tree directly.
All right.
So by the time you move out.
Yeah, it's fine. You're good.
Well, I've called pest control. They're going to come and spray the crap out of that.
Oh,
all right,
no.
We're getting rid of those bugs there,
poor little beetles.
Yeah, right. Unfortunately, most sprays aren't terribly effective on them because they are inside the tree.
Looks like you're just paying money for nothing.
I'm getting them early, though. They said if I get them early, I'm going to be good. Are they lying? Are these pest company lying? Because it was like $300, Mike, that I'm paying for them to come and spray. Is it not worth it?
It depends on what their treatment is. If it's just a spray on the top of the tree, probably not that effective.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things they can do to get systemic insecticides into the tree.
Yeah.
That may be more effective.
Sounds like you're being had.
That's how they get you,
to know. Yeah.
So I'm thinking I'm really strongly considering the bat box move this year. The bat house, right? Is that an effective way to do it?
Well, we're looking into the effectiveness of bats and where would be the best places to set up bat boxes, how many we need to sort of enhance the population. There are a number of factors that go into the bats. They definitely do eat mosquitoes,
mm-hmm.
but they also eat lots of other insects. So it will have an impact on the other insect populations as well.
Jurassic Parky.
That's really fine by me, Mike. If I don't like a bug, you know. If they eat spiders and mosquitoes, I'm pretty good with it, right?
Not so much spiders, but lots of moths and beetles and things along those lines. And then depending on where the roost is set up, it can take several years for the bats to actually find it and start using the roost. It can be some time before the bats actually move in and begin helping to reduce those insect populations.
I think that's a myth, isn't it? Are bats really blind, or is that just a myth?
No, yeah, they're definitely not blind. Many of them can see very, very well, when they're flying at night, most of their navigation is through echolocation.
That's the cool part.
Yeah,
yeah.
So dark.
Yeah.
They can't see this. Just, everybody's blind at night, Dylan.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
So, Mike, true or false, mosquitoes are the number one killing animal in the world?
That is actually true. It's actually the diseases that are mm-hmm. carried by mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're fortunate we don't have many disease vector mosquitoes in this area. Most of ours are just what we call nuisance biters. But that nuisance is... definitely an impact as well.
Yeah.
Mostly malaria still kills nearly a million people a year.
See that?
Mostly in sub-Saharan Africa.
That's wild.
Got to do something about these things.
Can we get dragonflies, like more of them? Can we start mating dragonflies or something?
Dragonflies is another one we're trying to enhance. Our primary method of doing that is actually through naturalization of the stormwater facilities. And we found the more natural those environments are, with varying depths and especially emergent vegetation, the dragonflies, of course, find those on their own and are able to develop in there. And we get lots of dragonflies coming out of those ponds now. So some of the more naturalized facilities, we go there and we'll find like five or six different families of dragonflies developing in those ponds.
Aww.
And so that's our goal, along with conserving actual natural wetlands where the dragonflies are developing as well.
When I see dragonflies, sometimes I'll see one attached to the other, right?
Yes.
Are they mating? Are they reproducing at that time?
That's exactly what they're doing, yeah. They have a...
While flying.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
The male actually has claspers, and she'll grab onto the back of the female's head. Mm-hmm. And kind of pull her along with them. And so you can actually tell which females have been mated because they'll get dents in the back of their eyes.
Oh, my God.
From being clasped. And then, as they're flying, the female will actually reach forward with her claspers and reach into the male's secondary sexual organs and grab a sperm packet use that to...
You got two? Man, dragonflies are awesome.
They each have two sets. It's they kind of fill up one from the other and...
Would have done just fine, Mike. That's one of those. How quickly with mosquitoes do they reproduce and how long does an average mosquito live if you don't swat it?
Yeah, the average mosquito will probably live maybe 2 to 3 days as an adult. Mm-hmm. They can live as long as a few months. Some of them will even overwinter. So they'll go underneath the leaf litter or find a rodent burrow or something like that and actually hibernate for the winter. So those ones can actually live almost a year.
They're evolving
As an adult. But the larval stage... the ones that hatch in the spring, it usually takes them about a month to go from egg to adult. Mm-hmm. In the summer, it can be as little as 4 or 5 days when it's nice and warm.
Just
and then that adult comes out, is flying around, maybe spends a day or two, lays another egg. That egg can potentially hatch right away. So you can get multiple generations, basically a generation every week. If you have the right conditions.
Oh, no.
That's crazy.
What can we do? You always tell us, and I always forget. I listen to you, and then I eat something and forget.
Yeah, he told us the fan hack.
Yeah, well, what is it you can do at your house to make sure that you're having a good time at a barbecue?
Sitting in your backyard, just using an oscillating fan. Those tower fans that produce a big column of air are really good. You just put that out on your deck, and it have it blowing across the wind that it generates. The mosquitoes don't really like landing in that, and it will greatly reduce the amount of biting. It will also blow all the mosquitoes that are trying to hide underneath your patio furniture when you're not there and keep them from resting in those spots as well.
And we say that we ask this question every year, but it's good to for people that maybe haven't been listening for a long time or missed that segment. You walk up and down the aisle at the hardware store, right? You go to Lowe's, you go to Home Depot, and right now in the outdoor section, in the seasonal section, you see mosquito this,
buzzy
mosquito
trap,
that, $400, $500, $300. And are they worth the money? Are they the least bit effective? Where do you rank them on a scale of 1 to 10 as far as effectiveness and value for the money?
Yeah, there's different products and different ones have different effectiveness. Some of them, like the mosquito magnets, use propane to basically break down into carbon dioxide and draw in mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. Those absolutely do draw in mosquitoes. They may be drawing in mosquitoes from much farther away than they would have come to your yard anyhow.
They're bringing them into your place.
Oh, no. Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
They absolutely do draw in mosquitoes. And if you have it out running long enough, it's going to take out tens of thousands of mosquitoes. But if it's brought in 100,000 mosquitoes, may not be that effective. We find them very, very useful for monitoring purposes, not so much for control.
Right.
And then other ones like the bug zappers that has an ultraviolet light and draws in insects and then hits them with a blast of electricity.
Oh, they're so fun.
They're fun, but that ultraviolet definitely draws in insects from farther away. Most of them are not going to be mosquitoes. So they're great if you really like blowing up moths and flies and beetles and things like that.
Who doesn't?
So effective on mosquitoes.
So it's six of one, half dozen of the other. You're killing the mosquitoes and the bugs, but you're bringing them in to kill them.
Yeah, exactly. So it might be better to get your neighbor to get one and then.
Give him a present. You see, that's a good move.
Remember when Mike came on and told us how dragonflies had sex? That was wild.
Mike, those off candles that always sell out within the first 2 weeks of the season and you can't find them anywhere. They're it's like you put that kind of tab inside the lantern and it smokes a bit. I found that they work. Is that just like a
plant? Yeah, so most of those will have synthetic pyrethroid deltamethrin or metafluthrin or transalethrin, once some pesticide in there, and they actually create a cloud of that, and it is absolutely effective at reducing mosquito coming in. It will reduce their amount of biting and in some cases even kill them if they get too close. Those can absolutely be effective, but you're sitting in a cloud of that same insecticide
and,
at the same time.
And, come the
and if there's a wind or anything, it'll just blow all of that cloud away.
Right. And so you can't mix that with a fan and be good. It's
exactly.
See, Dylan, there's no stopping these things. And also, come the first week of June, you can't. You have to go on a waiting list for 2026 to get those things, right? They go quick. Okay, so your prediction, and I know it's based on weather conditions, but we did have a, right, it rained and ice and snow and a really damp, wet, strange winter, which are breeding grounds for mosquitoes. Your prediction, better, worse than average? What do we have,
Mike? Right now it's looking slightly better than average. So we did have a lot of snow. We had a lot of water on the ground, everything. But it took a long time for everything to actually melt, and we're still getting snow and stuff like that.
Right.
So it hasn't produced the really ideal conditions for mosquitoes. The ground was really dry, so not as much habitat out there was out on the land that would have been with that level of snow normally. So we're not seeing as many habitats for the mosquitoes as we normally would have with that much snow. So that's been good. The cold weather has actually delayed their development, so we still haven't really seen much in the way of adult mosquitoes flying yet.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, it's looking pretty good so far. But again, it's going to depend entirely on what happens in terms of rainfall and other precipitation going forward. The more rain we get, more mosquitoes, right. Typically.
My daughter's one of those people where the mosquitoes go right after her. So
mm-hmm.
when in doubt, take your daughter with you when you go outdoors. That's kind of the idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Different people have different biochemistry and can definitely be more attractive or less attractive to mosquitoes than
can
other people.
Can I make it so I'm less attractive?
I haven't found any method of making it less attractive. There was one period I was on antibiotics, and I was incredibly attractive to mosquitoes.
Really?
Yeah, it was just insane. So typically, we used to actually go out and do bite counts, and we would go out and stand there for like 10 minutes and count how many mosquitoes landed on
you. Isn't that a fun job?
Yeah, it was lots of fun. Once West Nile showed up, we decided, okay, this isn't really useful data, and now it's potentially dangerous, so we stopped doing that. But it used to be I would get about half the number that most other people would. But when I was on those antibiotics, I was getting like 5 to 6 times as many bites as everybody else.
A mosquito will need to feed on somebody's blood how many times per day?
It's just the female.
Okay.
And so she's going out and finding a blood meal, and she'll take one blood meal and then digest it and use those proteins to lay the next generation of eggs.
Yeah.
And so that's how such a tiny little mosquito can lay so many eggs, and how they're so successful is they're basically using our protein to do it. Most of them will probably only do that once. They might do it 2 or 3 times if they're really, really lucky. But yeah, most of them will only do it once and they're dead. And then the males don't feed on blood at all. They only feed on nectar.
Oh, really? So we want
yeah.
the males? The males are good?
They're yeah, the males are feeding on nectar. Actually, most of the females are also feeding on nectar. That's where they get their actual nutrition from.
Oh, so that's just for reproduction. Okay.
Yeah, it's just for reproduction that they're getting the blood. If we could get them to stop doing that, that would be really helpful. But, yeah, they're mostly feeding on nectar, and as they're visiting those flowers, they are actually pollinators as well. So they are a native pollinator and can be useful in that role. But there's lots of other insects around that also do that. So. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Someone texting asking, does eating bananas make you more attractive to mosquitoes?
Some people have found that dietary things like eating bananas, it's thought it might be the potassium in the bananas, does make them more attractive. For other people, it doesn't. It seems to be just how it interacts with your own personal biochemistry.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate the time as always. I have a feeling that if they were to come up with a vaccine against mosquitoes, there would be no objection to it whatsoever.
Probably not.
They are actually working on and have the malaria in particular.
Yeah.
They are developing a vaccine for malaria based on a lot of the research that came out of the COVID fight.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And it's looking pretty promising, and we could very well have an actual vaccine against malaria very soon.
Whoa. So would it be a malaria vaccine, but the mosquitoes would still bite you? Or
yeah.
Oh, well, that doesn't do it. Well, Mike, we appreciate the time. We will talk to you again next year, or we'll yell at you if it gets really bad this year. One or the other, okay?
Absolutely. Sounds good.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay, Mike Jenkins, he is the pest control guy for the city. He knows everything about mosquitoes, and he says, so far, might not be that bad.
That's good to hear.
All right. Mm-hmm. Unless we start to get some rain and some hot conditions, and then we're all screwed.
Right.
So we thank Mike Jenkins for spending a few minutes with us. Hopefully you learned a little something about
how
mosquitoes.
How could you not with the dragonflies?
The Pepper and Dylan Show.
3 years ago, we spoke with Brian. You tell the story, Brian. You remembered it, and you say you want to thank the audience and thank everybody for the support you were given 3 years ago when you did what?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I came anonymously because you guys were asking, like, oh, what's the secret you haven't said, or, you know, like, whatever. And then that day is when I chose to come out and realized, you know, like, I needed to say it out loud that I was gay.
Mm-hmm. And that was the first time you ever said it was on the radio.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Right. Like, I've known my whole life, but, like, it was not
public
something I shared with anybody before. So
what happened after you shared it here on the station?
So, well, lots of things. I feel like it's been a road of pretty much self-discovery, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. But I remember we followed up with you a little while later because you were worried about how your father was going to react to that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So both, like, my parents, like, I talked to them and whatnot, and then it's been about 4 years since I came out or whatever.
Okay.
And I still haven't heard from them, but that's all right.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Really? It's all right, yeah. Like, you know, I realized too, like, throughout this path of, you know, self-discovery and whatnot, that family is not just blood. It's also the friends, the people that you choose to have around you. So you guys were pretty much the ones that started that. And for that, I'm also really grateful. And for all the people also that, you know, that, because I even went on your Facebook or whatever, and I saw some of the messages there. I honestly needed that because I felt so alone, right, back then.
Of course.
And so it was, even though, like, you know, I saw the messages, there was still, I thought it was going to be easier, you know, like I took it off my shoulders kind of thing, but I realized that there was more to unload than just that, you know, like all the self-loathing and self-hatred that I had for the longest time because I guess I didn't want to be gay kind of thing or accept the fact that I was gay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And then now it's been 4 years. There's been a few times that I've had to, you know, like get some help, medical help and whatnot, because it hasn't been the easiest. And that's why, like, I also wanted to say to other people out there, they're not alone. They're not, you know, like, you may seem like you're alone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes also, like, just reaching out for help, professional help, will make a tremendous difference in your life.
I don't want to open up any old wounds, but I want to go back to your parents and haven't spoken with your parents since you came out to them. So you sat them down and said, and was it both your mother and your father at the same time that you did this?
Yeah.
Okay. And you sat them down and said, Mom, Dad, I've figured it out. Mm-hmm. I've been struggling to figure out myself and who I am for a long time. And how old were you when you were doing this?
That was 28.
Yeah, he was 28 years old.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
He's a grown-ass man. And,
yeah.
and you said, like, and I'm gay. And was it just shut out immediately? Did they need time for it to sink? Like, I just can't imagine. And, you know, if my children were to, or just anybody, friends, children, any family member or anything were to say that to me, I can't imagine having that be some sort of factor in how I view somebody. Like, what do I care, right? And they did immediately, like, did they ask you to leave, get out of the house? You're not welcome here? Like, was it very contentious?
It was very, my parents, well, more so, I guess, my dad got, like, very upset. Like, he was really, really angry. Because after I came out to you guys, it took, like, I think a couple of weeks until we're going to get together for a dinner or whatever with the family. And that's pretty much when I came out to them. The whole thing got interrupted. food was thrown like on the floor.
Oh, and there was a food. Tantrum. There was a tantrum.
Yeah, like they couldn't believe it. Yeah, it's pretty much like a tantrum of that guy. And pretty much I was told that I didn't raise you to be that way. I didn't, like, what did I do as a parent? And, you know, like that you had to come out this way. And, like, obviously, it's nothing that they did. Like, it's just something, you know, my whole life I've known.
Yeah.
But, my dad was, so right after that, like, kicked me out of their house or whatever. And,
were you living there?
No. Okay. Like, I was just there visiting for dinner. Yeah.
But they asked you to leave.
I had to leave the house. You could tell, like, my mom was a little more, like, heartbroken.
Yeah.
About it, she was still kind of like in disbelief about the whole thing, and still, I think it's I think maybe she's been wanting to like talk here and there. Like I've been able to talk to her maybe twice in the past 4 years, but it's always something like, "Hey, how's it going? You're okay? All right, that's it." You know, like they don't want to talk anything else about it. Nothing. And same as like my siblings and stuff, like, you know, nobody. Like,
so
I got
your entire family is gone.
Yeah, my entire family. So it's
because you're
like,
gay.
There are so many people texting right now saying they want to adopt you.
Yeah.
You can be part of their family.
he's 32 years old now. I think he'll be okay. I don't think
we
don't need to adopt him. You know,
it's a nice thing to say.
Well, I mean, that is heartbreaking to me. And again, like the biggest struggle I'd have if my child said it came out of the closet and told me, the biggest struggle I would have is respecting the gravity of the moment and what it means to them, because it would mean almost nothing as far as change in the way I love my child. It would mean nothing, but I would choose, like, okay, this is a big deal to them, so do I, you know, get them a cake? Yeah, I don't know what you do, right? But that's how I'd approach it. I want to revere the moment in a way that respects that life-changing announcement.
Right.
But I would just be kind of like, well, it's Wednesday, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But you should get a cake because that's awesome.
You get a cake, of course.
I love a cake.
That would have been fantastic, you know? Like, I honestly feel like any child should be celebrated for who they truly are when they come out to terms on who they truly are. And unfortunately, with everything that's happening, even though the world now is more accepting, we still see it's something that is, like, still kind of like frowned upon by many people, like different industries. And, you know, like, even though, like, we're seeing more people and celebrities and people coming out, and it's still a big issue. It's still, like, there's a lot of, I guess I would say bigotry and, like, lot of people who don't understand it, because obviously in my line of work as well, like, I've had to, like, stop people and tell them, like, no, like, that's not how it works. People that have called me the F word as well, like while I'm at work and whatnot.
The only F word, like, you are is fantastic.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right. And so, but no, like, so I have to stop that, because like, it's, I don't, now that I'm comfortable in my sexuality and who I am, they don't know, because they just blur stuff out. And we always, every year we work with new people, different people, and we don't know who around us, you know, is not comfortable yet with their sexuality. And when we say something, or those people say something like that, and they're struggling, that can be a trigger for someone to self-harm, you know?
Oh, absolutely. So, oh, God, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And especially with you know, students that and peers that my kids go to school with, like junior high and high school level students really struggle with this. And you probably did for the longest time, too. 28 years old is when you finally came out. Like, what a wrestling match that is.
It sure was. It was very, it like, just pretending and telling people, that part of my life I don't miss. Because it was like trying to, you know, like, I was battling with myself, like, not, because I came from like a religious background. So, you know, from that perspective, that's why, like, a lot of the self-hatred, self-loathing, and even got to a point of self-harm.
You did it for you, and you feel better now. 100%. You feel more comfortable. You're out. You're open about it. Do you have a significant other? Is there a partner in your life?
I do. I actually do.
And how's that going? Everything good?
It's actually been pretty good. So, it's been about 2.5 years, so we're together.
All right.
Yeah, it took a while to get there, and there's still, you know, stuff that I'm trying to figure out, and, you know, but having a very loving, supporting, you know, partner has been like a world-changing moment, because I honestly never saw myself that I was going to be able to have that in my life ever.
Yeah.
I thought I was just going to pretty much die of old age by myself, just hiding and not telling anybody. And so now having that now is very fulfilling, and it's just honestly what I needed. It's what I was hoping for my whole life. And it actually got there sooner just because of that moment of bravery 4 years ago.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. Like, so many people texting in, just so, so proud of you. So happy to hear that you're happy now. And
thank you.
Very disappointed in your parents.
Have you ever considered being proactive and reaching out to your parents again and saying, like, can we not talk? It's been 4 years. Are you not over this yet? Have you not accepted this? Or is that just not in the cards?
I have already tried to reach out. I never get an answer.
Yeah.
So, like, it's that's like the hardest part. But yeah, like I said, it's the even though maybe my blood is not, you know, the one there for me, there's other people who have shown 100%. Their true love and support.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been like just the most amazing gift to find people in a community that actually accepts me for me, even though my family doesn't. And I'm hoping and still, you know, hopeful that one day they might come around. But,
you're not holding your breath. All right. Well, having said that, and how happy you are and how comfortable you are and how relieved you are from getting all of that that weight off of your shoulders, do you wish you had done it earlier than 28 years old?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
But I was so scared, too, at the time, just because of how, like, I was raised or whatever, right? And so coming to that, to terms of like self-discovery.
Yeah.
I knew if I were done it maybe in my teenage years or while I was still living at home or whatever, I know for a fact I would have been kicked out. If I got kicked out of that dinner, like I would have been kicked out and probably would have been like, I don't know, homeless or something while in my teenage years, you know,
That's sad.
Well, we all here love you to pieces, and thank you so much for sharing the story with us.
Good to hear from you,
Honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I really, really love you guys for what you've done. I know that I haven't met you guys in person, and I hope I can do it one day, but I can give you, and every single one of you, a
hug. You want to share a ham? We should have a ham together one day.
Yeah, sure. We'll do that.
Better do it soon, because Dylan thinks you might die from this long COVID. So.
Could happen.
Don't worry, Dylan.
Okay, well, we're glad you're happy, it's awesome to hear it, and thank you very much, all right?
All right, Brian. Thank you, guys.
Love take
you,
care, man.
Love you, too. Bye. Right,
good enough. 4 years later, right? Do you remember it now, Dylan?
Yes, I remember it, absolutely.
There we go.
I thought it would change, though. I thought the parents would come around.
Yeah.
That's sad.
So much love on the text.
Oh, yeah.
So much.
We appreciate it, and he appreciates everybody, because that the audience being as accepting as they were all that time ago really, really helped him. So it's good to check in with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's good to check in with some people that things happen and then we haven't heard from a long time.
Absolutely.
Ago, right?
Now we know his name.
The Pepper and Dylan Show.
Wake the fun up with the Pepper and Dylan Show.
Kiss 91.7.